But if somebody knows how to fix these things, I've tried everyone up here. There is no turn on this one to tighten it up. But, huh? I tried them both, and they went down further. So I have weight on it, so that's, but I don't need it fixed now. No, I'll just keep going like this today. However, maybe for next week. It happened last week too, but yeah, okay. No, don't worry about it, Dana. This tightens this up, but this does nothing. Unless you know something I don't know.
See this collar right here?
Oh, that collar. See, like I said, if anybody knows how to do this, leave it to Dana. Nope.
Hold it where you want.
Go ahead. You going to just stand there, don't it, Dana?
That's where you want it.
Look at that. It's called ask and you receive, I guess. Very good. Showed my ignorance, I knew, and I just gave up on it. I kept turning that, but I didn't know it slid up and down. There we go. All right, let's have a word of prayer, then we'll have someone help us pass out the notes. Before I do that, though, there are some copies of Lesson 6 and 7, because I know a few people miss those, and I left them out in the foyer on the table. If you need additional copies or other lessons, as long as you let me know, I can get them to you. Because I know there were a couple of requests talking with Heather that came into the office last week. So whatever you need, let me know. But if you need those copies, they're out there in the foyer. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. Although it is cooler than we've been seeing, and Father, we thank you and praise you for the ability to be here physically. And we thank you for the freedoms in our country that we enjoy. And we pray that our time together as we continue in our study of this topic would help us indeed to finish our race strong. Lord, as we have seen, none of us know when the race will finish for us. None of us will know where it'll take place. But Father, we know that as a believer, we're in a race, and help us not to grow weary in well-doing, but to continue strong until you call us home. Help this class to benefit each one of us, starting with myself. And Father, we commit today's class to you, as well as the other classes going on with the teens and the children. And we ask your guidance now in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we are at Lesson 8. So if I can have a couple of people help me pass these out. Kevin on that side. Dan, if you do it on this side. We got it. Thank you, Henry, for your willingness. I'll get Bob one here, so then. There you go. All right, we're in Lesson 8 as that goes around, and you can follow the notes on it. And if you, in case you think you're just all of a sudden discovered you're in the wrong class, this is on speaking on finishing our race and finishing it strong. And we come to today's lesson, but as that's being passed out, let me just rehearse for a brief second last week's lesson, as we're dealing with the practical aspects of, or hopefully the practical aspects of how we do this. Not just, okay, you need to do it, but how do you do it? Well, last week we said to finish strong, we need to be thinking biblically. Now that sounds pretty fundamental, and it is. But we need to be thinking in our mind. Our mind needs to process, what does the Bible say? We need to know what the Bible says. If we don't know what the Bible says, it's going to be very difficult, whether at work, whether in the family, whether at the local church, whether playing sports, whether we're just in conversation with someone. We're not going to know how to respond the right way if we don't know what the Scriptures say. So we obviously need to know that. And then as we get the information from the Scriptures, we then said we need to filter our decisions, our speech, our actions through that filter. And that will help us. We need to be thinking biblically. So when we're addressed with a situation, do we know what the Bible says before I make a decision here? Do we know what the Bible says so that as my child is asking me this question, I know how to respond in this marriage situation, so I know how to handle it. What does the scripture say? Let me filter that through it. As I'm confronted with the media, how do I know what's right, what's wrong? Philosophies of the world, as we'll see again today. We need to filter that through the Word of God. So we need to be thinking through the Word as we go through the process. And that sounds great. That's terrific. So that's one way to help us to finish strong. But let's be practical. And if you didn't get the handout, we can get that to you. But now what do? We still live in a real world, and we still live with this. We still live with a physical body. We have to be real. We have to be honest with ourselves. And why? Because if we're honest, we, Pastor Dan, often fails. We fail. We want to do things and we don't do them. We're going to see that in a second, though I've referred to it before. We live in a real situation. We have a physical body. We've been influenced by our upbringing. We've been influenced by the religion taught to us by our parents. We've been influenced by the country that we live in, by the nationality that we have. All of that has affected us. Many things in a good way, but some not in a biblical way. And it's still in our system. And so we see what the scriptures say. And then what happens, and maybe I'm wrong, but I'm going to give you three things that I think have typically happened to me, and I think happened to believers, and in my observation as a pastor through the years I've seen. And number one is we get discouraged. Discouragement comes into our lives because we're not doing what we should be doing. We didn't make a good decision. And we can become discouraged. And unfortunately, that left unguarded becomes deep depression. And over the years, I've dealt with a number of situations where, and once the person gets into a deep depression, it's very hard to get them out of it, even a believer. Another thing that happens, the second thing, is we want to give up. We want to quit. I can't tell you how many times even today, I don't mean this day physically, but I mean currently in our 2023, I still get hit with by people, I'm not going back to any local church because I got burnt by this one and whatever, and they've quit. They quit in a local church. They quit on God. I went to God and he didn't do this for me, quote unquote. And all of a sudden, they're ready to quit. And they don't want anything else to do with the things of the Lord. That's what can happen because of the flesh, because we're still living in the flesh. Or thirdly, I don't know if you ever had this happen. We think that everyone else is a spiritual giant and it's me. We come to church, let's say the local assembly here, and we're walking in life and we look at other couples, we look at other single people, we look at other children, we look at other families, we look at other work situations, and we think, oh, those are all spiritual giants. They never fall. What's the matter with me? And we can get into that doldrum of really not reality, because you know what? Everyone is in the same boat. And there's no spiritual giants. Even Paul failed. Peter denied the Lord. Okay? And I could go on and on with examples there. But that just sets the tone for what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a real life. So our challenge, we live, you can follow the notes, we live in a real world. We face real challenges every single day. You face them today already, and you will as the day goes on. That want to keep us what? From following Christ. There are enormous challenges every single day and that will come into our life that want to pull us away from following Christ, want to give up, want to think that everybody else is fine, it's me, woe is me, and then we walk away. Or we get into the, you know, I'm the only one left. And the Lord says, hey, wait a minute. I know a lot more who haven't bowed down the knee to Baal. You're not by yourself. Who do you think you are? And so on. So let's take a look at something. This is a struggle we all face as believers. Now, go to Romans chapter 7. I have it there for you. Romans chapter 7. And let me mention this because it's important to you ahead of time. There are some that interpret Romans chapter 7 as happening before Paul knew the Lord. Okay, in other words, this was not a struggle that he had once he came to know the Lord. I am not here to preach and debate this with you because it would take a long time to teach you, but I will say I'm very convinced in the scriptures. This is something that took place in Paul's life personally, I believe, after he was saved. After he was saved. Romans chapter 7, listen to it, beginning in verse 14. He says, "For we know that the law is spiritual." We know, if you will, your Bible's spiritual, the word of God is spiritual, the law that God gave to Moses is spiritual. But, contrast, I am what? Help me. Of the flesh, right? Sold into bondage to sin, okay? And what am I doing? I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I'm doing the very thing I hate. I hate it and I'm doing it. I can't get out of this cycle. But if I do the very thing that I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now, no longer am I the one doing it, but sin. And this is important, by the way, and it'll come up later on as we get to the end of these classes, okay? Not today, but in the next few weeks. But sin, which dwells in me. It's not, by the way, you notice, Satan. It's sin that dwells in me. That's the struggle. For I know that nothing good dwells in me. That's a hard place to come to, but it's true. That is what, he explains it, in my flesh. My flesh is going to be involved in the desires of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh. That's me. That's you. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want, I don't do, but I practice the very evil I don't want to do, or I don't want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but it's the sin who dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present with me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body waging war against the law of my mind. Notice that, of my mind, of my thinking. Last week was we need to think biblically. There is a battle that goes on in my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who may set me free from the body of sin and death? The answer is verse 25. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other hand, with my flesh, the law of sin. And by the way, I need to read verse 1 of chapter 8 for the believer. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's because of the work of Christ that I have victory. But there is a struggle that goes on, and it's real. And we all know that struggle. We even get our thinking biblically, so we know what the Bible says. And I've shared it with the class before. In counseling, I've actually been confronted face to face with people, and they say, "I know what the Bible says, but I'm going to do this anyway." That's the struggle of the flesh. That's a struggle. So it's a battle that wants to take us out. And if you don't think this is during Paul's time as a saved believer, well, then go to Galatians chapter 5, the next verse, the next verse that I give you. In Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16, the Apostle Paul says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit." What? "And you will not carry out the desires of the flesh." Where are those desires? They are in me. They are in me to want to sin. All you get from the outside, whether it be the media, whether it be people, is information, okay, that tempts you to pull you away to what's already inside of you. And it's very easy to follow and to give up. But he says, if you walk by the power of the Spirit, he says, you won't carry it out. And here's the battle. For the flesh sets his desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another. What I want to do and what God wants me to do, and it's a struggle that's going on all the time. For these are in opposition to one another, so that I may not do the things that you please. But if you are led, if you are guided by, if you yield to the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, and here they are, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife. You know, we look at the first few, but how about strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions? We don't even like to look at this list. Envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not enter the kingdom of God. And then he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ have been crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. Order our steps by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. I think that's pretty practical. I think this still, Pastor Dan, we're looking at this, and we're talking about being committed, and we have this struggle. Yes, look at what it says. The illustration that I'm going to give you is one that's being ignored today by everybody, sometimes by myself as well. Driving in a car, and you come to an intersection. The worst one, I think, around, one of the worst ones, is right here, 213, where 93 comes off and 213 comes. And what happens? There's a nice sign there that says, yield. And we interpret that, you yield to me. Get out of my way. Right? But what is it? Yield. That's the whole concept here in Galatians, being led by the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit. It's to let the Spirit of God control you. You now have the information in your thinking as to what the Bible says. Be committed to yield. Your flesh wants to go this way. The Spirit of God wants to go this way. What is it a process of? Me making decisions every day. How many times have we tried to blame somebody else? We go right back to Genesis, right? Well, it's that woman you gave me. Well, it's that Satan that you sent. It's your fault, God, not mine. Look at, God has said this. All you needed to do was obey it. But rather than yield to that, you yield to the temptations that were in you because she saw, by the way, that it would make her wise, that it would maybe make her like God because it was tempted that way, desire to be had, and gave in. It's decisions we make every day. And so we're to process and filter it through the Bible, but then that struggle's there. We need to yield. Today, the written word is being replaced by social media, YouTube, videos, TV, movies, images. God's plan is totally being misplaced. And by the way, when you get down, let me give you this right away. Go to Proverbs 24. Because you are going to fail, I am going to fail. How encouraging is that, Pastor Dan? Well, here's the encouraging part. Proverbs 24. Let's take a look at verse 16. For a righteous man falls seven times. What does he do? Rises again. But the wicked stumble, time of calamity. And that's it. They just give up. They stumble. No, the righteous man falls. I am so thankful, since I used Peter, I'll go back to Peter. Peter denied the Lord three times. I'm so thankful he recovered. That's an example to me. I'm so thankful that David wrote Psalm 51, Old Testament believer. Did he fail? Yes, he committed murder. But he got back up. Lord, it's me. Renew a right spirit in me. Cleanse my heart, God. And he got back up. I pray that the Lord would save the child. The Lord didn't save the child. Onward I go. Cleaned himself up and moved forward. We need to pick ourselves up. This might be a little bit more encouraging. Go to Psalm 37. Many of you know it. But Psalm 37. Psalm 37, 23 and 24. The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. He doesn't say if he falls. He says when he falls, he will not be hurled headlong. Why? Because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. Right? That's what it says. We all have memorized verse 25. I have been young, now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. We're going to fall, but what happens? The Lord's still there. Remember when we started about the practical, we noticed that God, we have to depend upon God doing his work. He will complete what he started in each of us. But I have my responsibility. I still have to go. Noah is one that we used. Go build the ark. I'm not going to build it for you. You go do it. I'll guide you. And so we have to follow what the scriptures say and let that thinking filter through us and yield, give way to, let the Holy Spirit have his way in our life. People are reading less news, books, magazines, and relying on the internet. I just tried to be practical here, without researching whether or not information is true or not. When I taught in the school here, which I did for 35 years, I would not accept from any student that I had anything that came out of Wikipedia. Because if you know the information behind it, you can go in and change definitions. And so people can make it mean what they want to, and people take that for granted. Go back and get yourself a real solid college dictionary. Go out and do, you know, research on stuff. But check things out. Don't just take for granted everything you hear. You really believe everything you see on the internet? Many people today do. Until you find out and you read the story and you find out, hey, wait a minute, there's a little twist to that that wasn't true. We need to check things out. We are bombarded with humanism and religious thinking rather than biblical thinking. And that's being forced on us today. I was talking with some people last night, and my wife and I were talking about something we read just yesterday, and then we went back. It was Utah, where in Utah, if you didn't see it, what the school board has decided, and they have now made it, when you first looked at the headline, it looked a little different, but when you read it, what Utah just did is the school board passed that if you did not go along with the pronouns that people accept today, so if a student wants to be called it or they or we and doesn't want to be called he or she, if you don't do that as a teacher, you are terminated. Plain and simple. That was just this week. Okay, so what do? I do what God says. God created man, male and female created he them. That's what it says. Let the consequences come. Do what's right. Do what's right. If we are honest, such things as, and again, I tried to be practical. And for those of you that don't know me, I have tried my best in my life to be involved in physical fitness, in eating. I like a lot of junk food, but I eat healthy food too. I do, all right? But to be honest, we're involved with physical fitness, politics, entertainment. The church has become an entertainment atmosphere. And I'm not saying this church, but in general. Education, medicine, sports, they dominate our energy and time. Let's be honest. They dominate our thinking. They pull constantly for our attention. And by the way, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with sports, medicine, education. If it wasn't for medicine and God working in my life, I wouldn't be standing before you right now. True story. 1 year ago. All right? But God has used medicine. But you need to check everything out. We went to a conference and they referred to something And they got into drugs, and the, I don't know, dope sick was the thing that was used. And the point was how one particular medication fooled even doctors, so the doctors were now addicted to it because it was basically feeding the pharmaceutical companies. Now, why? What's that got to do with the spiritual walk? Taking for granted everything that everybody says. They come up with a philosophy. They come up with a theory that this is what's supposed to happen. Check it out through the Word of God and be committed to do it. Our mind. It's hard to envision eternity, isn't it? Let's be honest. I've said this to my wife. We can talk about it. Can you really envision all of us in this room, if you've trusted in Christ, being in heaven and never having sin? You can? I find that hard to imagine. Or to have a resurrected body that has no limitations? So the scriptures say it's going to be like. And to be in heaven in that place, I believe that, see? But to envision it in our everyday life, sometimes it's hard. It's hard to envision that. But we need to remind, why? Because we live in a physical world. The battle we face every day is centered on our thinking. And that's what I want to get across to you when we say be committed. Colossians chapter 3, you know it well. Let's have somebody else read. So Colossians chapter 3, we're going to read verses 1 through 3. Let's get there. And who's going to be the volunteer? Kevin, you're right in the front. Nice and loud for us. Give a second for people to get there. Go. Okay. There it is. What am I to do? If you've risen with Christ, if you're a believer, keep seeking the things above. Keep seeking them. You'll fail. Get back up. 1 John 1:9, confess your sin and move on. Don't dwell on it. Don't live in the past. Paul says the things that he had done, he forgot. I put them in the past. And I press forward, not behind. Learn from mistakes. Learn from failures. But be committed. Get going. Get moving forward. And here it says, and this is dealing with the inner man, by the way, right? Our deep desire. That's what it says. Set your mind. Get your thinking. See, last week, get the scriptures in there. Now set my mind on that. Things that are not on the earth, it's temporary. Everything that you see on earth is temporary. I happened to be just reading in Scripture and devotional the other day, and I went on a walk, daily walk, and I was walking by, and in our neighborhood, there was this beautiful, I mean beautiful, gorgeous, my wife and I commented on it just yesterday again, gorgeous, what do you call them? Mobile home. Not mobile home. The type you drive. What do you call those? What is it? Okay. Gorgeous thing. Beautiful. And he was out there polishing it and so forth. And the guy looked like he was in his 80s. And I thought to myself, he's going to leave it to somebody. His whole life, you could see it. We've watched it. He's always out cleaning it. Any little thing that goes on it. That's got to be his prime possession in his life. And you know what? It's temporary. You know what's permanent? Everybody in this room. People are permanent. That's why Christ invested in us, to satisfy the Father as well. Everybody's going to be resurrected. Think. Next one. We are, fill in the blank. Think. We are to think and be committed to act in a way that honors God and trusts him. We've already seen that, right? That we are to what? Honor him. We are to please him in all that we do. We need to think that way, but we need to be committed to it. When we fall, don't quit. Go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Someone else, volunteer, gotcha. Go ahead, Sue. right? Thank you. Don't lose heart. We do. Come on. All right. Well, that's what can help us. If I have the scripture, don't lose heart. Now, we've memorized 1 Corinthians 15:58, right? Therefore, beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, sometimes abounding in the work of the Lord. Oh, someone knew it. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Knowing that your labor is not in vain. This isn't in vain. The world may say you're wasting your time. Foolish religion, foolishness following Christ. You're going to follow that, or you're going to follow what you know to be the word of God and say, yeah, okay, I fell. I went down, but I'm not going to lose heart. And you know, when it rubs home, comes home, and you have physical difficulties, or you have something in the family happen, or you have something happen in your marriage, or you go in and out of the blue, you walk in like just happened to people recently, right? In the news. They walk in and all of a sudden the medical facilities shut down. I don't know if you heard about that one. Shut down. So all of a sudden people's prescriptions, they were going in for serious tests. The facilities shut down. It's closed. No one could go there anymore. Employees walked in that day. It's over. Don't lose heart. It's a trial. It's a tribulation for you. It's a challenge. Don't lose heart. Continue to do good. 2 Corinthians 4. Let's go there. 2 Corinthians 4. Be committed. Don't quit. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. This will help you to finish the race. You might get beat up. How many here, by the way, it just flashed into my mind. What was the name of the movie? It was Chariots of Fire. How many ever saw that? Anybody ever see that? Many of you did. It's a true story. It's about a believer who was an athlete and ran in the Olympics. You remember that? What happened was on one of his races that he was being watched, he started to run and somebody knew he was that good and they, boom, elbowed him and knocked him down. Anybody remember what he did? He got back up and the fans were astounded. He was so far behind, he got back up and ran and won the race. He was knocked down. He went into the Olympics, huh? No. He ended up being a missionary to China. That's right. He became a missionary to China. But he was a preacher. And then what happened was the race he qualified for the Olympics, this kind of a side trip, but the race he qualified for the Olympics, was his competition was going to be on a Sunday, and he wouldn't run on a Sunday. He refused to run. And it was all over the news worldwide. And he didn't run. But the Olympic Committee made an exception because of his stand, put him in a race he had never run. And they said, don't worry about him, and he won the Olympic gold medal in the other race. I'm using that as an example of what happened. He was committed. He wasn't going to give up. He wasn't going to fall and stay down. He was just going to fall, but he's going to get back up. Get back up. Where are we? 2 Corinthians 4, 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, and all of us have received mercy from God every day, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness, adulterating the word of God. We don't even use the word of God wrong. We've been through that already in this class. We got to use it right. We filter it right through. And we don't lose heart. Look at verse 16, same book. Therefore, what does it say? Somebody read it. Chapter 4, verse 16. Was that Dawn? Go ahead. Thank you. We do not lose heart, but though our outward man is decaying, and I'm going to tell you something from experience. The older you get, the outward decays. I know that every day. It gets harder to get out of bed. It gets harder to do things. That's why when I went through some of my difficulties, people wanted to come over and help, and I greatly appreciate it, and they wanted to come over at 9:30. I said, you got to be kidding. You got to tell them, Linda, there's no way I'm going to be ready till 10:30 if I can get ready by then. True story. Okay? But we don't lose heart. Our outward man is decaying. But notice this. Yet the inner man that wants to please God, he does not quit. He's committed, is being renewed. How often? Day by day. It's a day-by-day process. And the momentary light affliction, some of our affliction, if we're honest, I look at this and I say, Paul, are you kidding? But it's producing an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, far the things that we face. That goes back to the Colossian passage, setting our affections on things above. And it's not easy. That's what we're saying. It's not easy. We're going to fail. But don't stay down. And you know what? That's what Galatians 6 is all about for each one of us. When you see a brother stumble into sin, when you see a sister stumble into sin, I have difficulty. You know what we're supposed to do? Pick them up. Don't talk about them. Don't criticize them. Get in the game with them. Pick them up. Because the time's going to come, I guarantee it. It's happened to me. Time's going to come, you need somebody to come across and just pick you up. I've been honest with you as a congregation. I, as a pastor, at times said to Linda, I said, I've had enough. I can't take it anymore. I just can't. Thankful I have a wife that's supportive and other people just come along, not even knowing it, to give you the energy to keep going. See? Be committed. Lord, help me to keep going. Keep going. One more, 2 Thessalonians 3:13. There's some others, but I got to move along. We're never even at the page 2 or 3. All right, 2 Thessalonians 3:13, quick. Here's what it says. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. Don't get tired of it. So what? You sent out thank you notes to everybody and nobody appreciated it. Send out some more. So you said to whatever, congratulations, congratulations, congratulations. Then you achieved something and everybody ignored you. So what? Don't grow weary. Still congratulate other people. So you wept with those who wept and now you're weeping and nobody's around. It's not easy. Do what David did. He strengthened himself in the Lord and he kept going. He committed to keep going. And to save time, okay, the next one, it says, here is what can happen when you fail to submit your thinking to God. Matthew 16, 23. Anybody know what it says? I'm going to move on. That's Peter. And just before that, in verse 16, Peter says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. God says, great, Peter. My Father revealed that to you. You didn't figure that out on your own. When you come to verse 23, what did he say to Peter? Get thee behind me, Satan. Same person. Why? Your thinking is wrong. Why? What was the problem? I have to go to the cross. Oh, you'll never die. Peter, you have no idea what God's plan is. You're messing things up. Get thee behind me. And if Peter can fall, so can I. And so can you. But we need to move on. We need to be determined to follow what God wants. In Joshua 24, and you can look at it on your own. I'm going to save some time. You've got a lot of verses here to go through. We need to be determined to follow him. Joshua says, as for me and my house, I'm going to follow the Lord. I don't care. I don't care what the world thinks. I don't care what anybody else thinks. And if you want to follow foreign gods, so be it. I'm going to follow the Lord. No matter what. Philippians 1:21. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. What if I die? It's gain. That is a biblical thinking that's correct. It's a person that's committed that says, if I stay here and minister to you, and that's God's plan, okay, I don't want to. I'd rather be with him. But if I am with him, oh, that's even better for me. But he said, for your sakes, God's going to keep me here. That's the passage. Galatians 2:20, I use that verse when I get baptized, right? Galatians 2:20, anybody know what it is? I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and he gave himself for me. That's committed. He gave himself for me. Why wouldn't I yield to him and let him take over? That's what those verses. Here are some biblical examples committed to following, to trust in the Lord at all costs. And I'm not going to look at them all. Some you know, like Abraham is the first one. Matt, put yourself in his shoes. His father was an idolater. And God says, look, you leave him, your family, everybody, come with me, and I am going to show you, and all the families of the earth will be blessed because of you. I just shared this in last week's Bible study in Haverhill with them. Someone had that question, who is Abraham? What a great question that was, because it opened the door. It's through him that you and I even come to salvation, because through him the seed, the Messiah came, and all the families of the earth are blessed. Abraham was committed. He ran into some stumbles along the way, even lied. But he kept coming back. Genesis 35 is Jacob. Joseph is 39, right? Woman wanted to sleep with him, basically. He had everything in his possession. And what did he do? He ran and left the garment in her hand, a piece of the garment. How can I do this and dishonor the Lord and dishonor my master? I can't do this. He was committed. He end up in jail? Yeah. Get traded by his brothers and all that stuff that happened. And what, I mean, what a miserable life. When you look at what Joseph went through, you say. No, God was in it all. And he kept going. And even when he was in prison, he was put in charge because he behaved himself wisely. Daniel 3 is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know that. Let's go to Acts chapter 5. That's not on there. The others are Paul and Noah. Those are just some examples. There's many biblical examples. But let's go to Acts chapter 5. That's not in your notes. The others you can look up. Somebody read verses 27 and 28. That's what I think I want. We had a volunteer. Go ahead, Ron.
When they had brought them, they stood them before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, we gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name. And yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us.
29.
But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men.
Don't go preaching in his name anymore. We didn't know how to handle the situation, but as long as you're doing that, he said, well, you decide. God wants me to do this. You don't want me to do this. I should obey God, not men. He was committed. He was committed. Simply put, I'll put it this way in my notes, again, just an expression, but in the dot there, simply put, we need to be committed by being all in. All in. I'm all in. And you know what? There is no halfway Christians, truly. Because if you belong to Christ, you have been bought with a price. You are no longer your own. Neither am I. So we're all in. Will it be costly? Yes. Will sometimes you on the job, I've experienced that. Some of you know my background. Before I was in the ministry, I was working for a CPA firm. I had several situations my wife is aware of. Could have cost me my job. But I would not do what they wanted to have done. Okay, you need to be committed. You know, you might have to sacrifice some things in this life that will be uncomfortable. But so be it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we've been going over and over again, right? Whether or not we live, and they didn't know whether they would. All we don't live. One thing I know, we're not bowing down to your image because it's against what God wants. And God preserved them in the fire. He didn't have to. Our discipline. This will be expanded next week, but let me go down to this. The next bullet point, we must discipline ourselves every day. It's an ongoing process. Every day. We've seen 2 Corinthians 5:9. You can look at that on your own. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10:5. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Time's sake, I'll read it. I'm going to go back to 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. We don't fight. Remember, it was like David. Goliath, you're coming at me with that sword. You're coming at me with a shield. I'm coming at you with the name of the Lord. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of forces. And here it is. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking, here's the challenge, every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Our weapons are spiritual. It's the word of God that's the sword. It's our faith that's the shield. And the belt, you go through for Ephesians chapter 6. And what have you got? You've got the weapons of our, it's prayer. It's our shield of faith. It's the gospel of Christ. That's our weapons. It's the word of God. It's not this fleshly stuff. We have to battle it on that level. The world says seeing is believing. God says when you believe, this is the fill in the blank so I get them to you. When you believe, trust, and obey, you will see God work. Might not be the way you want it, but when you believe what God says and you trust him in that, and then you follow in obedience, you will see God work. And Abraham saw it. Peter saw it. Paul saw it. Zacchaeus saw it. Nicodemus saw it. Timothy, and we could go on and on. Just some thoughts quickly in closing. Do not let the lesser urges of the flesh, and we all have them, and the world captivate you and divert you from following Christ. One of the saddest things, I think, is to know people that when you got saved, they get saved around the same time, and you look at them today, or we just had a graduation, people graduate from Fellowship Christian Academy, or our children, if we're honest, and we look in years and they want nothing to do with Christ whatsoever. Or, and there's been people as a pastor, I've looked up to their writings, and I've read and studied their material and they've been such a blessing to me. And later on, they're having nothing to do with Christ. They quit. They weren't committed. Things get too tough. They lost heart. We need one another to help us in our walk. Don't be diverted by what can be the world's captivity. Remember 9:27, we're in a race. We've memorized Matthew 6, 33 and 34, right? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. Verse 34, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. This is Sunday. This is June 4th. Don't worry about the 5th. That's what it says. Don't worry about tomorrow, for the things will take care of themselves. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Isn't it true? There's troubles every day. Don't be worrying about tomorrow when you haven't struggled with the troubles today. And if you get down, don't quit. Get up. Be committed to go on. Let me give you the fill in the blanks, and then I'll open it up. Remember our position. We are, again, a soldier in the Lord. You can look at that. The fill in the blanks is to finish the race strong. You must be focused on being committed. Be an imitator of Christ. Didn't we memorize that? Be imitators of God. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. He loved us and gave himself for us. I got to open up for questions, comments. What's the point? Again, get our thinking filtered through the scriptures and then be committed. It doesn't mean you won't fall, but get up. It doesn't mean you won't struggle, you will. Remember, and I've been emphasizing it, and we'll see it all the way through to the end, I hope. We're not looking for perfection, we're looking for what? Remember? Maturity. Growth. I want to be growing. You don't become a 10-year Christian in one day. It takes 10 years. We just celebrated. It was interesting. We had some folks over, and they all sang to my granddaughter last night because we remembered it was her birthday, and I had to call her. And I always sing to my grandchildren. I still sing to my children. They're probably sick and tired, 50 years old almost, and I call them up on their birthday, and I sing to them. And they probably just, oh, boy, here he goes, Dad, again. But regardless of all of that, what I'm saying is, you know, there's a celebration, and you know what? Just like with a child, she's now 10. She's not 20. She took 10 years to get where she is. But she keeps going on. She's had her ups. She's had her downs. She had her failures in school, failures at home, and victories. And that is our Christian walk. We struggle. We have to yield to the Spirit of God, let him take over, and we'll go on. Any comments, questions? Either that or I put you all to sleep. So we didn't have anything. Yeah, Doug, go ahead. Yeah, but not only do we need to pray, what you said is true, but I'll be honest with you, when we're down, we don't want to pray. Maybe you're different. I mean, because we pray and we just don't feel right. We need other people to pray for us too, but you're right, we do. We need to pray, and that's why we need one another. And we need to be open with one another and looking to one another in the body of Christ. It's a real struggle. I'll get some water in a minute. Thank you for that. Any other comments?
Thank you, Carol. Set your sight straight ahead. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right.
That's what Proverbs says. Proverbs says, watch your steps. Don't be looking to the right, looking to the left, because that's going to pull you to the right. It's going to pull you to the left. And if we're honest, we often do get off track. But we need to come back. Yeah, and that'll happen. Sometimes there's no response, and people aren't sympathetic. They're too busy. But remember in those moments how often we were too busy when someone else needed our help. But continue on. Be committed to getting back up. Last minute, because we've got to give it to Rocco. Sorry, Rock. Two more minutes.
Sometimes the Lord uses somebody else's problems.
Bob says sometimes the Lord uses other people's problems or your own. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. You know, some of the things that we go through, as God helps us, we will be able to help others. And we might not realize that we're being a help to somebody else. That's correct. And we're so grateful that other people's testimony and what they've been through helps lift us up. We can do this. All right, I got to close. Thank you for your patience. We'll tell you this. When we get to especially the last lesson, I will deal with some things that are warning signs that we are not walking strong anymore. So we're going to get there, but we're working our way up to hopefully to help you and to help me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we've had in the class. Help it to be used in our lives. Help us to be not just thinking biblically, but be committed. Committed as much as lieth in us. And we thank you and praise you that the Spirit of God is still in us, that the Spirit of God wants us to yield to him so that he can lead us along and help us, Lord, when we do fail, to get back up, to use 1 John 1:9 to confess our sin, to be thankful that you have still got the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleansing us from our sin, strengthening us, and you're right there by our right hand, to help us to be committed to go on. And help us to do that, Lord, until you call us home. Prepare our hearts now for the morning service. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.